The 1952 U.S. presidential election is one of those pivotal moments in American history that really tells you a lot about the era. It had all the drama you'd expect, with high-stakes Cold War anxiety, a country looking for stability after decades of turbulence, and two candidates who couldn't have been more different in personality and appeal. The election is often remembered as a landslide, but the reasons behind it go much deeper than just the final vote tally. 1952 was a landslide. So let's set the stage. It's the early 1950s, and the United States is a country still recovering from the upheavals of World War II. The post-war economy is booming, but it's not without its challenges. There's inflation, labor unrest, and some unease about whether the prosperity will last. Then there's the Cold War, a backdrop of pervasive fear about communism. This was the era of McCarthyism, with accusations of communist infiltration in government and Hollywood grabbing headlines daily. Add to that the Korean War, which was dragging on without a clear victory, costing lives and resources. Americans were ready for a change. The Democrats had been in power for two decades. Franklin D. Roosevelt and then Harry Truman had steered the country through the Great Depression, World War II, and the early years of the Cold War. But by 1952, fatigue had set in. Truman decided not to run for another term. His popularity was in the gutter, partly because of the Korean War and partly because of allegations of corruption in his administration. That left the Democratic Party looking for a new standard bearer. Enter Adlai Stevenson. Stevenson was the governor of Illinois, known for his eloquence and intellectualism. He wasn't initially keen on running for president, but was persuaded to step up at the Democratic National Convention. Stevenson was a thoughtful, almost professorial figure, with a wry sense of humor and a deep commitment to progressive ideals. He appealed to the more liberal and educated segments of the population, but critics saw him as aloof and too cerebral for the average voter. On the Republican side, the choice was clear from the start. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Ike, as everyone called him, was a war hero, the supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe during World War II. Eisenhower was immensely popular, and he had an air of competence and calm that appealed to a country looking for stability. He wasn't a career politician, which worked in his favor, especially at a time when many Americans were skeptical of Washington insiders. He also managed to navigate the ideological divides within the Republican Party, securing the support of both moderates and conservatives. The campaign itself was fascinating. Eisenhower ran on a platform of ending the Korean War and cleaning up corruption in government. His slogan, "I like Ike," was simple but incredibly effective. It tapped into the personal admiration people felt for him. His running mate, Richard Nixon, was a more controversial figure even then. Nixon faced allegations of financial impropriety during the campaign, but his famous Checkers speech turned the tide. In the speech, Nixon emotionally defended himself, mentioning his family dog, Checkers, as something he would never give up. It was a masterclass in early television politics. Stevenson, meanwhile, tried to focus on the issues, emphasizing the need for thoughtful leadership in a dangerous world. He criticized Eisenhower for being vague about his plans and for aligning with conservative Republicans. But Stevenson struggled to connect with working-class voters and came across as elitist to some. His speeches were admired by intellectuals, but didn't always resonate with the broader electorate. Now about that landslide. The numbers tell part of the story. Eisenhower won 55% of the popular vote to Stevenson's 44%, and he carried 39 states to Stevenson's 9. In the Electoral College, it was a blowout, 442 votes for Eisenhower to 89 for Stevenson. But the election was a landslide not just in numbers, but in the broader political realignment it signaled. Eisenhower managed to flip several traditionally Democratic states, especially in the South, breaking the so-called Solid South that had been a Democratic stronghold for decades. His appeal cut across traditional party lines, drawing in Democrats and independents who might not have voted Republican otherwise. Eisenhower's victory also marked a shift in the national mood. It was a rejection of the New Deal liberalism that had dominated since the 1930s. Not a wholesale repudiation, but a desire for something different. People wanted a leader who could navigate the complexities of the Cold War while maintaining domestic prosperity, and Eisenhower fit that bill perfectly. His military background reassured voters that he could handle the Soviet threat, and his moderate, unassuming style made him broadly acceptable to a diverse coalition. Stevenson, for all his qualities, couldn't compete with Eisenhower's star power and widespread appeal. His campaign highlighted the growing divide between intellectual elites and the average voter, a dynamic that would play out in future elections as well. Stevenson would run again in 1956 with similar results, further cementing Eisenhower's dominance in the 1950s. In the end, the 1952 election wasn't just about who won, it was about what the victory represented. It was a turning point in American politics, a moment when the country turned away from the New Deal era and toward a more centrist, pragmatic approach to governance. It also set the stage for the modern Republican Party, showcasing the power of a charismatic leader who could unite different factions. And for Eisenhower, it was the beginning of a presidency that would leave a lasting legacy, from the interstate highway system to a cautious but firm approach to the Cold War. The 1952 election remains a classic example of how a candidate's personal appeal, combined with the right historical moment, can produce a landslide victory. It wasn't just that people liked Ike. They saw him as the leader America needed at a critical time.